Welcome to the Opinion Combination Podcast, College Edition. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette, alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little wrestling with you. Of course, Dick Briggs back with us after a week of vacation. How is Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
We did snowmobiling, so we jumped on the snowmobile and went 45 miles, so kind of a cross-country thing, with stops along the way, so beautiful scenery through. Started in the Teton National Park, went through Yellowstone, and ended up at Old Faithful, and got to watch the Old Faithful do her thing.
Oh, really? That's awesome. I bet you didn't expect to come back to near tropical weather here in eastern Iowa, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, it was actually warmer in Jackson than it was in Cedar Rapids. Okay. They're hurting for snow.
Really?
We got lucky. They said that our guide told us that they were going to close it down. I'm not sure who the federal people for the parks or whatever, that we're going to close it down because of lack of snow, and we might have made it by one day.
Oh, really? So good timing.
Yep.
Good timing. Well, let's jump into the competition from last weekend. First off, Iowa State was idle. A little bit of a break as they gear up for a couple Big 12 duels this weekend at Hilton Coliseum. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Iowa, first off, they have a little bit of their real first weekend road trip in the Big Ten. They hit Ohio State on Friday and then Michigan State on Sunday, dropped a 24-9 duel to the Buckeyes. Second time Ohio State's beat them this season. Then they bounced back and beat Michigan State 40-6. Not surprising there, kind of expected. But Iowa came out strong. They started 157, won the first three weight classes, and then after that it was all Ohio State. What did you take away from that duel?
First off, it looks like that Iowa won the toss, so they got to start where they wanted to. You've got 57. You kind of has Iowa figured out what they're going to do there yet, for sure?
I don't think so. I think it was going closer towards Jordan Williams there, especially like with the performance at the Soldier Salute. Victor Voinovich got both duels, and he went 2-0 against Ohio State, Michigan State. So they're both listed for the Michigan duel on Friday and for Purdue on Sunday. Could see both of them, maybe. But I think Victor Voinovich is back in the picture there at 57, especially with kind of some of the losses where Williams gave up majors late in matches. That probably didn't sit too well. And now Voinovich is getting another opportunity. And at least in those two matches, he capitalized.
Right, and remember at 57, we'll talk about this later because it's real important in the upcoming duel. I mean, I assume we will, but Ohio State had their number one ranked Cannon out of the lineup there at 157. True. So that's just one thing to consider when we talk about possibly that Ohio State-Penn State matchup this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think it was kind of the same – same kind of story a little bit, when you look at the results, losing close matches, matches where maybe they didn't look real offensive in a couple. Something's got to get corrected there. If they want to have any semblance of a uptick in the postseason.
Right. And you're exactly right. Losing the close matches, they lost Keter lost 3-2 to Feldman, who's great. He's number three seed. So that's not a bad loss, but it's a loss.
And right.
You got to start turning those around. Ayala, again, you know, two-time national runner-up, losing to Davino. And Davino's a great wrestler. He's ranked number two. So you're losing, you know, close matches to great guys. But if you want to be that guy, then, you know, you got better. It's got to get turned around now at Big Tens and Nationals. And then Ryder Block lost it over sudden victory 4-1 to Styles, who's ranked seventh, you know, so Block's right in there as well. So, but again, it's just losses. So you close loss and you're in it, but that doesn't help you much on the scoreboard.
Right. One of the matches that kind of stands out, 184, did you happen to see the video of sudden victory? Yeah, the takedown that was awarded and then reversed.
I did not see that. I was looking. I heard about that, and I was looking for it, but I did not find it.
Okay. It was really close. It's one of those things where, depending on which side of the mat you're looking from, and I mean that figuratively, not literally, right. If you're looking from the Iowa side, you don't think there's any way that's a takedown, that there's reaction time, that that's a takedown for Arnold. If you're from the Ohio State side, you said, he's got a claw and he's around the waist, even though he wasn't fully behind, he was behind the arms, which I think is always a big qualifier for takedowns.
So KJ, can I ask, was it going around and Arnold had his hands on the ground? Is that the situation?
In a tripod? At first he was on his elbows when he initially got around, then he was on his hands, then he rolled. So it all happened within maybe 2 seconds. So the argument for reaction time, I guess, is there from the Iowa side, which in real time looks a little more likely or reasonable. When you slow it down, you see there's definite stages to where it's elbows, hands, roll, which would make you think you're beyond reaction time at that point. So it's one of those things you can see a point. I mean, I guess personally, I thought it was too, but you know, you can see it. I think you can see it both ways, but you know,
did Iowa lose their brick? Did they throw the brick, or was that just official?
No, it was ruled a takedown for Arnold because he rolled and then came out on top. And
okay.
No, it was ruled originally a takedown for Arnold, but you could see Ohio State threw their red brick immediately.
Okay.
And I don't even think they waited till Arnold was awarded a takedown. I think when it wasn't awarded and the action continued, the brick came flying out from the corner.
Okay.
So they challenged and it got reversed to take down for Fishback, and he won 4-1 in sudden victory. So, and that, you know, I don't think that miraculously causes a lot of, it doesn't get Keter to shoot and score takedowns in the heavyweight match. I don't think it causes Dean Peterson not to get caught in a throw and give up another big move to Bazakis. Yeah. Probably doesn't overturn 133. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So, well, what if that was different? Maybe it lights, it provides a spark and, does that. But
yet it's the same story. Right. And yet here it is, the same story. Gabe Arnold, it sounds like, not shooting the entire match, waiting till sudden victory to make his attack, and that's kind of a common theme with
Gabe. And I didn't see regulation. I didn't see regulation. So I didn't see how,
okay,
whether he was offensive and or just didn't finish or what. Yeah. So I can't see that. But
okay. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, yeah, that changes things on the scoreboard in terms of the, you know, the meet, and it can affect wrestlers. But you know, when a wrestler gets out there, they're not thinking too much about that. They're just trying to get the job done. And, you know, so who knows how that might've affected, but again, you know, here's, Keeter not having any, you know, no offense. Again, it's Feldman, he's a great wrestler. So that's kind of typical of a lot of heavyweights, but Ben's been, man, he's so offensive when he gets going. I mean, he can be. I mean, we've seen it in high school. We've seen it in college early on. And I know there's some people out there that are frustrated, that they just want to see him open up. And you know, I'm kind of that way too. If you're going to lose, you know, let's go out with some guns a-blazing, you know, sort of thing, instead of keeping it close, right, trying to win at the end. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Here we are, we're sitting in our chairs.
Iowa bounced back, beat Michigan State. They had nine competed matches, all went Iowa's way. Iowa forfeited at 197. At the weekly media availability, Tom Brands alluded to the fact that Brody Sampson got nicked up, so must have heard something either Friday or maybe while warming up for the Michigan State duel. So the duel was in hand by the time that came around, so they just forfeited. They also had a 74-pounder. He kind of, we were talking about seniors because Friday is senior night, and he talked about senior Sebastian Robles, who's a backup 74-pounder who was on the trip. And he was all, like, hey, if we need to, I'll go up to 97. So they could have put a body out there if needed, but just elected to forfeit. So that's where the one weight that they didn't win, how that kind of played out. But
you know, here's what I hear there. I'm glad they had the senior there and ready to go. Good for them, you know, on that road trip. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that's kind of a nice thing to do for the senior, to bring him along and, you know, have him ready. Obviously they needed someone maybe there. So, but that's still pretty cool. I like that. Hearing that.
Yeah. You know, especially with Angelo Ferrari being out, Arnold being up at 84, kind of needed the extra body in the upper weights there, but and luckily didn't need him to bump up two weights there.
KJ, who do they have listed at 97 this week?
Sampson and Ludington.
Okay. All right.
So they have both of those two at in the initial probables for this week.
Okay.
So against Michigan State, you know, this is the Iowa team. I mean, again, it's Michigan State. I mean, you kind of expect it, even though Michigan State's record was better than I expected it to be. But you got technical falls from Ayala, Cale Peterson, who's in at 141 for Nasir Bailey. Tom Brand said that's kind of day to day. You know, he's always kind of nondescript when it comes to injuries. So we don't know when Bailey and Ferrari might be coming back. I'm guessing we won't see Ferrari until the Big Tens. Just to be better safe than sorry of re-aggravating an injury or making anything worse before the postseason. Bailey depends. You know, he's had his hand issue a couple times, you know, the Minnesota match, the Soldier Salute. So they'll go with Cale Peterson until Bailey's 100% or able to go the best he can. And who knows, maybe Cale Peterson ends up wrestling really well. It's kind of unfair to gauge him this weekend because he's wrestling Jesse Mendez,
yeah.
You know, who annihilates everybody. And, you know, then had a run-of-the-mill opponent from Michigan State that he got a tech. I mean, heck, you know, he took care of business. Ryder Block with a tech. And then in the upper weights, Caliendo, Kennedy, Arnold, all with technical falls there as well. So, you know, kind of did the job that was expected against Michigan State. As we mentioned, Michigan coming to town. Michigan just got beat by Penn State 38-3 last weekend. Wolverines are ranked 10th. Iowa moved up to number 7 in the poll after dropping to 8 last week. But they moved up a spot. So your probables, Dean Peterson and Joey Cruz at 125, Drake Ayala 133, Kale Peterson at 41. You've got Ryder Block and Kale Voinovich both at 149, Victor Voinovich and Jordan Williams at 157, then Caliendo, Kennedy, Arnold, as we mentioned, Sampson and Ludington at 97, and then Keeter. Here's one thing I want to mention. You haven't paid attention to my X/Twitter feed, have you?
I guess I have not. I thought I did, but
okay, good, because that would spoil this.
Okay.
And I think it'll be pretty easy to figure out, but guess the Hawkeye here. Okay. He's 15-3 at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Oh yeah.
Okay. He has outscored opponents at Carver 243-112, which averages out to be a 13.5 to 6.2 point average differential. And he is approaching 100 career wins. He's 94-16 overall right now.
Yeah, I actually did pay attention, so I have the answer. So and he did not start his career, as you mentioned, at Iowa.
Correct.
Yep. So he's done so well, and he's almost done it quietly because of all of the other noise that's going on all around. You know, here he is kicking butt all year long and just doing his thing, and he's the guy that I think the coaches want the others to emulate. He's out there just, putting points on the board and not looking back.
Especially for the last two seasons, he's really been, two of those three losses have been to Mitchell Messenbrink. And one of them was to Dean Hamity.
Yeah.
And even in the loss to Dean Hamity, I almost said Hamilton, Dean Hamity, he scored 11 points. It was a 14-11 decision.
Right. Caliendo. Yeah. Just better say his name. That's what kind of
allude. He's won 11. 11 of his last 12 at home. And the reason why I bring it up is because it's senior night. It's going to be the last Carver Hawkeye Arena competition for Drake Ayala, Caliendo, Kennedy, possibly Voinovich, and those seniors. That's where Sebastian Robles got brought up. Same with Gage Marty, the former Solon heavyweight, and back up to Keeter. So senior night's always a special night, but I wanted to point that out with Caliendo. Just because he's been the most reliable, the most offensive, one of the most fun guys to watch in this lineup. And just this year, he scored 22, 22, 21, 18 points in his four wins. Obviously, the loss to Mitchell Messenbrink was the exception. But, and I know the 3-point takedown inflates the numbers a little bit, but still, those are 6 to 7 takedowns a match. And that extended in the last season as well. His very first match, he won 15-10 over Kakani Ferret of Oregon State back in 2023. So even his very first match in Carver, he's putting up 15, double digit points, which you don't see all the time, really. So in his second match, he scored 18. So he's somebody that's lit up the scoreboard and has been fun to watch, and will be one of the seniors honored on Friday against Michigan.
Right, and that first year might have been 2-point takedowns because
the years bleed together. I can't remember what year they made the change. Yeah. It could have been.
So, yeah, so, you know, keep that in mind as well. Yeah, he's done great. It's been fun to watch him, that's for sure. We're going to miss that senior group. And the coaches and team, they've got some work to do to fill the lineup with that quality of wrestlers.
Right. Michigan, you know, they've got about 8 ranked wrestlers. Obviously, 184, Brock Mantinona, ranked 6th. Tay Gadiali at heavyweight is ranked 5th. He just had a big win, I think. Can't remember, but he's had a notable win here lately over a ranked opponent. So that'll be a tough one at heavyweight, 184 for the former City High kids. But you can't ever assume a win. Obviously, Minnesota proved that. But is this a dual Iowa kind of takes care of business, or are we still seeing this up and down performance here going into the next weekend?
You know, I watched Michigan on the Big Ten channel that last 2 weeks now, I guess, when they wrestled Ohio State, was it? And the Mantinona brothers, Brock and what's the brother? Bo. And Brock in particular, isn't he at 84? He's a wrestler that beat Fishback from Ohio State, and it was just a crazy. Those guys are funky, man. I'm telling you, it's like they put themselves into positions that you think the other guy's going to score, and then just bang like that, they score the takedown. So keep an eye on those guys. They're fun to watch, and wrestling 74 and 84 at Iowa, that could be interesting for sure at those weights. So that's my take on Michigan. You know, those two guys, I like watching them.
No, for sure. For sure. And I'll tell you what, Contrabone, the 57-pounder, he gave PJ Duke all he wanted and more. Duke had to score a takedown in the last 30 seconds, maybe, to win that, like 12-10 or something crazy. I was impressed with watching his match against Penn State. So that's one, especially when you don't know maybe who's going out there at 157. That's going to be one that is going to be a tough matchup for sure.
Right. And I think I mentioned Ohio State wrestler. It was Penn State, right? Wrestler. But you're right. That was fun. So is this going to be a run through? No, not at all. There's some good competition on that Michigan team. And always has been. And I expect there always will be. So Bournemouth's
good to go. Yeah, you know, and they've got some established names too. You know, Dylan Ragusan has been around and accomplished, and then Lachlan McNeil, who transferred from North Carolina. So there's going to be some challenges in there. So it's not a gimme by any means. Of course, I don't think anything's a gimme this season.
And who knows what lineup's going to step out there? You know, it was good to see. I mean, Dean Peterson. I guess they give the 25 pounders first name. Dean Peterson. We got KLD and back in the lineup there. You know, so we got that going. But who knows what's going to happen in 97? And we know 84 Gabe will get in there. We don't know what's going on. Was it 49? 41. I mean 41 as well.
41. So, I think it's Peterson for right now.
Okay, so who knows, you know? So we'll see. Be interesting.
Yep. And then Iowa heads to Purdue on Sunday. Really the biggest match there. We talked about Caliendo. He's expected to have Joey Blaze, who's ranked anywhere between 2nd and 4th at 165. So that'll be a good test for Caliendo at the end of the weekend. As well,
and I feel like Caliendo hasn't had quite the higher ranked wrestlers that some of his teammates have had. You know, like Ayala seemed to have one about every week, it seemed like. But you know, so this I hope we get to see that match.
Yeah, I'm just looking here since you mentioned it. Outside of Messenbrink and LJ Araujo from Nebraska, those are the only top eight wrestlers he's wrestled since the National Duels Invitational. There he had Lockett and Scholes from Oklahoma State and Illinois. But outside of that, Messenbrink and LJ are the only two that are in the top eight. Sparks from Minnesota was number 10, but I think you're kind of right there.
Yeah, it just seems like he hasn't had, you know, that competition yet. So he's got to be looking forward to that. I mean, he needs to see that before Big Ten.
For sure. Before we jump to you and I, let's talk about Penn State, Ohio State coming up this weekend. Friday night at the Bryce Jordan Center, you got 1-2. Penn State's dual win streak on the line. Is there a threat?
You know, with Cannon in there, the number one ranked 57-pounder, I think it could have gone 5-5 in matches, and still you got to figure, you know, then bonus points. You know, Messenbrink's going to throw a bunch up there. So, and some of the others, Barr at 97 possibly. But, you know, and I guess Mendez has a potential to put some bonus points up there. But I like, you know, I see it as like going Ohio State's way, possibly 125, 133, 141. Probably could have gone. It'd been a fun match at 57 with Cannon versus Duke, but that's not going to happen now. And then I just, you know, Feldman and Marisol at heavyweight. I got to lean towards Feldman on that one. So there's four that Ohio State could win, and then so now they have to pull an upset, in my opinion. So who are they going to upset in that top half of the lineup? They're all number one ranked guys from 74 to 97 for Penn State. So I think Penn State can win it, but I think Ohio State can make it fun. Okay. So,
all right. And I don't know why this jumped into my head. We got a little more than a month of the season left overall. Who do you think is a front runner for the Hodge? Is it Mendez? It's got to be Mendez, right?
Messenbrink. Those are the two that pop in my head right now.
Those are the top two to me as well.
I'm trying to go through the weights. I don't think at 25. Those are the two in my mind that really stick out.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's transition to you and I here. Like we said, Iowa State was idle. You and I went to South Dakota State on Sunday, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of sold you and I short because I thought, well, you know, they're even more shorthanded than they have been. Trevor Anderson's out, Corey Land's out for the season. They didn't have Volker when they wrestled at the multi-divisional duels. So Aronson, that didn't really concern me as much. But the other two, I was like, boy, I don't see how they're going to beat South Dakota State up in Brookings. But yeah, the Panthers win.
Right. And, you know, in my opinion, the matches that stand out, you got Farber, who's ranked high teens, low, middle 20s right there, depending on which one you look at. And then he is wrestling another low 20s wrestler. So very similar rankings there. And he got the win there. 10-1 major, by the way. So that was nice. Yeah. And then Sima at 74, 13th ranked, and against Espinoza Owens, who's 14th ranked, got the win there. And then here's the biggie. You mentioned his name, Aronson, at heavyweight, unranked, obviously. And then he beats the 25th ranked Rasmussen And that was the last match of the duel to win it. So, you know, it was, you know, at 19-13. So that came down to that match, and he upset the ranked wrestler. And so you and I found a way. You know, they're really close ones, and then, you know, beating guys they're maybe not supposed to on paper. And so it's a good win, and especially when you're banged up. But I just like the attitude that you hear from the coaching staff, you know, Schwab and Pew and that sort of thing. And it's just, you know, it seems like they do a good job of managing not only the kids physically, but up here as well. And not, you know, not right. putting so much pressure on them sort of thing. Get them out there and have fun and compete. So I love that.
And I don't know if people that watch this follow you and I's social media accounts, but you know, those the talks that they share with Schwab and Pew with wrestlers and stuff in the wrestling room addressing certain topics. I mean, boy, if you've got a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that are athletes, and it doesn't have to be wrestling either. There are a few of those that you need to share with your aspiring athletes, because there is a lot of perspective that is gained. And I think in this real, you know, sports is it's become an uncontrollable beast when it's, oh, you've got to have results and you've got to win to feel good or that it's productive or positive. And that's not the case. And I think a lot of times, even though being successful certainly is the goal, Schwab and even the video I saw with Pew, they do a great job of really putting perspective on things and what the most important things are. And I think that's one of the reasons why you and I has climbed back into, you know, a top 12, top 15, you know, with the potential for more again. You know, it's been a while since it's been at that level, you know, not to put you in a weird spot, but probably really the first time since your brother was coaching that it's been at, you know, at that level. So, right. You know.
Yeah. Couple of things. First of all, the comments that were made by Coach Schwab after the Oklahoma State whooping, really. You know, I loved his comment. I'm going to give you the gist of the of what he was saying, but I don't remember the exact quote, but something to the effect that how shallow would I be if I, you know, based everything on wins and losses, you know. So basically, to echo what you just said, he sees the big picture. He wants to put out a good human being that's going to, you know, be a productive person in society. You know, you hear that a lot. I don't mean to sound cliche, but that's the message that I got from that when he was addressing the press. And so I thought that was pretty darn special when he said that. And that's, you're exactly right. That's why people, wrestlers, I mean, we saw that in Kick Eisen. When he had an opportunity, I'm sure he did, to go somewhere else and collect a lot of money as a returning national champion, and decided to, you know, elected to stay at UNI. And, you know, good for him. That speaks volumes for that program and for the coaches and for that athlete and others. Yeah, UNI is banged up. So what a nice win that was. And, you know, over the 16th ranked, I think, were they, or 14th ranked South Dakota team at the time. So
yeah,
that's a big win, and proud of the Panthers. And KJ, to your comment, there's probably been a couple of years in there besides my brother. I'm real proud of what Brother Don did.
Oh, for sure.
So I appreciate those comments.
No, I mean, it's, I think, yeah, I mean, Schwab had, is closer to where Don had it back during his tenure.
And, right. And you know, the Panthers back then were always a threat to be right at that top 10. You know, and you know, even back then, but especially now, it's just a different level because you got, you know, the top programs that have so much money to put into, they can basically buy wrestlers to come in. And you and I and other schools that are in that, you know, that financial position don't have that ability to, you know, to
purchase. The resources aren't there for for that. So this weekend, both Iowa State and UNI host West Virginia. Iowa State on Friday, UNI on Saturday night. So if you're looking for something to do with your significant other on Valentine's Day, head to the McLeod Center after districts. And then on Sunday night, UNI heads to Ames for a showdown with Iowa State.
But question. But on Iowa State, you and I haven't seen it, but they always seem to be, and especially Dresser, always seems to have some little gimmick. I think they have a real good relationship, Dresser and Swab. And they have some little gimmick that they tease each other back and forth. I missed it. Is there something going on this year that I missed?
I have not. I did not see Dresser's media availability from yesterday since I was at Iowa. Yeah, they've always had something. Remember the water, the pictures of the water gun and the cat, the kitty cat. No, I think there's a, I think they get the showmanship around it a little bit, and have fun with it. I think it's a good natured, thing a little bit, because I mean, if you saw the interactions last year at the McLeod Center when you and I won, it was not a touchy feely shucks, we didn't win kind of thing. It was heated. So
and that's the thing, you know, as a coach, longtime high school coach, you know, you have moments when you're doing this with your fellow team, you know, the teams that you're competing against and coaches and that sort of thing. But I don't care. I still, you know, 99% have good friends, and, you know, 100%. I can't think of anyone that, you still, you know, you're competitive and you want that. But you know, when you step away, you're still friends with them, and it's just that kind of thing. I'm sure between Dresser and Swab and their staffs, they all want to win. And that, you saying that, you know, Iowa State's going to want to avenge that loss last year for sure.
Right. Oh, for sure. Thing that catches me by surprise a little bit, West Virginia's ranked 18th. They're 9-3 overall and 4-2 in the Big 12. Which matches UNI's record and only one back of Iowa State. So if they're looking ahead to Sunday, it might bite them a little bit. The Mountaineers, you got to take care of business against them. Like we said, Iowa State on Friday, UNI on Saturday. But with Iowa State and UNI, is there any way UNI can pull off the upset here?
You know, I haven't paid attention to the matchups, but it's all about matchups when you're that close and that tight. So, is there a way? Yeah. Heck yeah. They just, you know, in whatever rankings UNI uses, I pulled this off there. They have West Virginia ranked 16th, as high as 16th. So, they just beat South Dakota State ranked 14th. So it comes from matchups and maybe pulling that upset you know, like Aronson did at heavyweight, you know, I don't know if it was an upset, but it was a good win for him, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that probably will have to happen. Like I said, I haven't looked at matchups.
Gotcha.
And that would be a fun one to attend, too. But West Virginia.
UNI's probable lineup, a lot of either ors. Of course, we talked about how they battled a ton of injuries. So you just don't know what you're going to get. It just depends on who's able to go. And like you said, those matchups will be huge. I think Iowa State would have to be kind of a heavy favorite, though, as long as they've got their full lineup. And it looks like there might be an either or at 133. Of course, we saw that Evan Frost didn't go against Oklahoma State, Iowa State's last duel. Either or at 174 with MJ Gaitan and Aiden Riggins. And then at 197, I know they've kind of managed the workload for Rocky Elam. He's listed with CJ Carter at 197. So, but for the most part, it looks like they're going to have the majority of their starters in. So,
yeah,
should be a good one. You can always throw out those records, right? I know it's cliche and stuff, but throw out the record book when, you know, teams like that get together. And wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if you and I went to Ames and upset Iowa State? And how would that reignite the old Iowa, you and I needing to duel debate? Yeah.
If that happened this year, that would be huge because, I mean, Iowa State really ranked third right now, and
fourth.
I mean, and so they're just a strong team, and they've wrestled well all year, and they've been managed real well by that staff, and you know, so I don't. It's gonna be a tough battle for you and I, but if it happened, oh my, that would be huge. Yeah, that'd be
fun to see. On Sunday, Iowa women, just briefly, they swept their way through the especially for her duels there. The biggest win was beating McKendree, number two McKendree. They got a win there. Ella Schmidt, I know a lot of people have talked about how she bumped up a couple weight classes to kind of fill in and help out, and it turned out to be big. William Penn won the other pool and then wrestled Iowa. Iowa beat William Penn. Just want to mention the job that Jake Cadle and Cash Wilkie have done at William Penn. You know, move there after Iowa Wesleyan closed its doors, and they had started some really good things there at Iowa Wesleyan. But they've really picked up where they left off here with the William Penn program, and that's kudos to them and what they've been able to do down there in Oskaloosa.
Yeah, and we got to watch a wrestle on against Grandview, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. What a fun production that was with the band there, and the girls first and then the women first and then the men. So a lot of fun.
Anything from D2, D3? I know we're filming this on February the 11th. Big Cornell duel at Cohawk Arena tonight. Should be a fun one there, even though I think Co would be heavily favored to win, but you know, Co's got a win streak. They knocked off Co. Cornell has a win streak. They knocked off Co last year, so you never know. But any other things from the D2 or D3 landscape that stood out to you from last weekend?
Yeah, just some of the results. Co lost 33-6 to Wartburg, and Coach O can't be happy. I mean, I got to be disappointed there. And it's time he's stepping up, and I don't think he's at all happy with that. Cornell beat UW Oshkosh 51-0, so they're going to be ready to go after that win. Loris beat UD, University of Dubuque, 44-3. Luther lost to Central 34-15. I happened to watch that one. And then UD lost, like I said, to Loris. Coming up this week, like you mentioned, tonight at 7 o'clock, and again, you can watch that online, those for free if you want. But Co versus Cornell, and then Co wrestles UD on Friday at 7 o'clock. Loris has Wartburg on Thursday at Loris, and then Luther has BV on Thursday. And that's at Central Springs High School, KJ, in Manly, Iowa. So I'm not sure what that's about, but that's that Luther BV meet is at in Manly. So. Let's see. Oh, and then this is their last competition before regionals, which are February 27th to 28th up at the Five Flags Center in Dubuque.
Wow. All right.
And then just quickly, Upper Iowa beat Drury 38-7. Their next competition is the Great Lakes Conference, which is held in Quincy, Illinois this year.
Wow. Three straight dual wins for Upper Iowa, starting with that ranked win over Indianapolis towards the end of January. So they're wrestling well, and it's hard to believe that we're already at that stage.
Yeah.
You know, for the D2 and D3 schools to be on the precipice of their postseason.
Right. And think about it. I think we're 5 weeks out from nationals. That's that season gets long. I mean, yeah, we're at the tournament time, but it's still, you know, 2 weeks before regionals, and then nationals after that, another week and a half or whatever. So,
right.
Anyway, it just gets kind of strung out.
All right. Any other final thoughts before we close things down? And
no, I think we had it covered.
All right. Well, again, make sure to check out our content at thegazette.com. Also, some videos from all of our coverage across the sports department at our YouTube channel. So make sure to subscribe on that. And as always, just like to thank you all for watching and supporting us throughout the season. We're getting closer to the postseason, so things are getting really entertaining and fun. As always, we're going to turn it to Coach Briggs to send us out.
Keep wrestling on the move.